Rabbi Shapiro, Kala Kodesh is there. Really, I called and asked. I told him that I'm coming. The older I get, the more a charge I get from coming to Yeshiva and seeing, you know, Bachrim who are coming to Eretz Yisrael and being gadol l'makom Torah and excited about it. I get a charge from the excitement of the Bachrim. I always enjoy coming here. Usually, I daven Maariv here as well. And that's also a tremendous experience, the tefillah. It's very, very important to be both outstanding in Torah and in tefillah. They're both are very important. They both are separate. You see it from the halacha that by Chazeras HaShiach Tzibur, you're not allowed to learn. And if you do learn, you don't get schar for learning at that time because it's so important, the bond that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through tefillah, which is a big part of the day of Purim. It's so powerful that even though Talmud Torah can get kulam, that as far as Hashivas, the greatest thing is Torah. Hashem used, Kadosh Baruch Hu used the Torah as our Kedushin ring, or our Kedushin Matbeya, was the Torah by Kadosh Baruch Hu under the Chuppah of Har Sinai. So there's nothing like the Torah. It was the most precious thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu could give us. But the attachment that we receive with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we talk to Him and show that we realize that Hashem Echad, everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is tremendous. And the only reason tonight I did not daven our bit here is because one of the Talmidim that I met here when I was here, I don't know how many years ago it was. Do you remember when it was? So he wanted to come and meet me here tonight, that I should meet him with his wife and Baruch Hashem, their five children. They live in Eretz Yisrael. And this is where I met him the first time, in this yeshiva as a bocher in the American program. So I made up to be here earlier so that I could meet them here before I come up to speak. Otherwise, I would have also appreciated the tremendous tefillah that I always experience in this yeshiva. It's fantastic. So last week on Monday night and Tuesday night, we had the beginning of 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, and we all know the Chazal from Maseches Taanis, that Mishenichnas Ador Marbin B'Simcha. From the time that we enter Ador, that we come into Ador, we increase our Simcha. And the Chedush HaRim, Zichrono Livracha, points out that if we started being B'Simcha, if we started feeling happiness, and Simcha is not the same as Rina and Gila and Dita and Chedva. They are like a wedding, like an engagement party. It's excitement. And then when the party's over, it's a memory. The next morning you talk about it. That was a wonderful wedding. That was a great wedding. I was once, one of my Talmidim got married in Baltimore. And many of you may know Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen from Yeshiva University. He also has the Morashah Kola in the summer. So Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen was at this wedding in Baltimore of a Talmud from our yeshiva. He was also a Talmud of Rabbi Cohen. And whoever knows him, he's a very, very excited Oyved Hashem, a tremendously excited servant of Hashem. And he and I drove from New York to Baltimore, about 3.5-hour drive, and many of the Talmidim who were there for the wedding also were going back to Brooklyn or Manhattan that night, at midnight after the wedding. So the Chassan asked us to wait for him to daven Ma'ariv. He should have a minyan for Ma'ariv. We shouldn't daven right after the chuppah, we should wait for him. So we were waiting. So Rabbi Cohen didn't waste the moment. He turned to the crowd. It was just because I had to explain it to you when I was talking about Simcha. And he said to the crowd, Tibby's getting married tonight. Anybody here with a Moshe Kolo, another way he speaks, you recognize it, right? Tibby's getting married, like a real American Yankee, you know. Tibby's getting married tonight, right? Everyone said, yes. Great wedding, right? Someone said, yes. I don't know if it's a great wedding. Maybe it's a lousy wedding. It depends tomorrow morning. We're getting back to New York about 3:30 in the morning. If we get up and daven with the yeshiva on time and go to Seder on time, great wedding. It inspired us. If we sleep late, lousy wedding. Bad wedding. In other words, you know, we'll find out what the wedding did to us. How did it inspire us the next day? So, but the idea is a wedding is gila, it's excitement, it's ecstasy, it's fantastic for those few hours. Next day, it's a memory. Simcha is a calm feeling, like you feel. You're sitting here, no one's jumping up and down on their table, but you're in a great place. You're just having a good tefillah. You're happy. Happiness it's in the mind. It's a state of mind, being happy. My life is good. I had a good day today. That's Ahava, Achva, Shalom, Reus. The real life of a person is every now and then you have that gila, that reno. But Marvin Besimcho, that entering, we should increase our happiness. Our feeling that things are good. So the Chazishrim says, what were we happy about in Shvat that we're increasing it in Adar? So he says, his pshat, is that we see in Shvat, in the Torah tells us, Ba'ashte Osra Chodesh, the 11th month, because our year with HaKadosh Baruch Hu really starts in Nisan. Our marriage starts in Nisan. All the Shalosh Regalim are one big wedding. We have first the Tanoim, the conditional contract that we start a marriage with, that the couple's going to get married on this and this date. Today in the Litvish world, you don't really need them anymore because the Tanoim is written at the wedding and they're getting married in 10 minutes. You know, so there's not really a reason more than the picture opportunity for the two women to break the plate. But really, it's a superfluous shtar today. But it used to be in the days of the Gemara, if you learn Ketubos, so there was a 12-month period, you know, between Kedushin and Nisuin. So the Tanoim became in place of that Kedushin period. We don't have those 12 months anymore. So we make the Tanoim. The Hasidim still do it that way, that they'll make a Tanoim, and the wedding will be 6 or 9 months later. And the Chassan doesn't see the Kala even once in those months. He goes to learn, because now he has the biggest peace of mind. He is already a Chassan. He's going to get married. There's nothing to be concerned about as far as looking for his shidduch. But he's not married. There's no that responsibility of taking care of anyone else. So he goes away and learns. And the kala prepares the chasana. The chasana has nothing to do with it, more or less. Really, not the orchestra, not anything. He's just not involved. He comes back for the badekin to get ready for the... So they bring the tanoim that was made 6 or 8 or 9 months earlier to the wedding and read it to make sure that the conditions were met, because it's a long time. So Pesach is that tanoim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, I'm marrying you in 7 weeks. Get ready in these 7 weeks. They're every day a midah, Sviras Ha'omer. And then we come to our chuppah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Shavuot. Hashem picks up the mountain like a chuppah over our head. That's one of the pshatim. And gives us Kedushin, the Torah, and says, Ramakudeshly, you're elevated, you're sanctified, you're higher than the whole world. Segula mikol ha'amim, you're my treasure. I'm giving you my biggest treasure I ever created, the Torah. And then there's a preparatory time until we live together, until the Nisuin and Sheva Brachas, Sukkot. 7 days of Sheva Brachas. The difference is that we, humans, when we finish Sheva Brachas, we Yidden, the next day we go back to our regular schedules. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't do that with us. If you look at Rashi in Parshas Re'eh, Shmini Atzeres was added. After 7 days of Sheva Brachas, but there were so many guests by Sheva Brachas, we didn't have any time alone. 7 days with so many guests, we had the 70 nations visiting the 7 days of Sukkot. You look at the Karbonos Bamusaf. It's starting from 14 and down for 7 days. It adds up to 70 because we are responsible for the whole world. We are Tzelem Elokim, those of us who know about Torah. The 80% of our brothers and sisters who don't know about Hashem yet, I don't think they can be vested with Tzelem Elokim more than the Umay Sa'ilam. Have 7 Mrs. B'nai Noyach. They're not responsible. It's not their fault, but because they don't know the Tariyag Mitzvah. But we have a Tzelem Elokim. And we are mispala for the whole world to have food. So we bring karbonos for all 70 nations on Sukkot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Rashi says, Kosha alai pridaschem. It's hard for me to say goodbye to this wedding celebration of 7 weeks. Let's have one more day, just the two of us. Par echod, ayil echod. That's the karbonos of Shmini Atzeres. Just one and one, just us. So how do we celebrate with Hashem on that one day, the eighth day? It's the highest day of the year in Kedusha. Yom Kippur, is a very holy day of Yira, but as far as Av is always bigger than Yira. So Shmini Atzeres is the biggest day of the year. What do we dance with Hashem all day, just the two of us? How can we hold on to Hashem and dance with Him? The closest thing is the Torah. So we have Simchas Torah. So we take the Torah, we dance on Shmini Atzeres all night and all day. We're dancing. And then we go back to regular life until the wedding starts again. And that's the test of life. How do we behave after the Sheva Brachas? That's the test of life. With a Chosin Kala, with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Klal Yisrael. So says the Chedush Yerim, but Ba'ashti Oscar Chodesh Be'echa L'Chodesh Hoyel Moshe Be'er as HaTorah. Moshe Rabbeinu began to explain Torah Sheva Alpeh on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. What a simcha to understand the mitzvahs, to know how to put on tefillin, how to prepare tefillin, how to write tefillin. How do you bench lech? What's the mitzvah? What's involved? How do you bake matzahs for Yom Tov? What's called, what's shmirah? How do we guard the wheat? Moshe Rabbeinu began to give us Torah Sheva Al Peh on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. What a simcha. Mashiach Hadar, Marvin B'simcha. We increase our simcha because by Purim, Kimu V'Kiblu HaYehudim. So there was an increase in simcha. Because we took the Torah at our kedushin with the har over our head. Even if it was a chuppah, it was a frightening chuppah. Now, the Alta of Nevardik, Zichron Levracha, I was zoich when I grew up in my younger years. The Rav of our shul, Rav Yaakov Kapel Pasternak, was in Siberia during the war. So he was with the Alta of Nevardik. So he asked them, he said, in the Dikduk HaLoshen, in the Gemara in Shabbos, I don't get the Dikduk, he said. It says there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, with the mountain over our head, if you're Makabel the Torah, Mutav, then very good. V'yemlav, if you don't accept the Torah, Shom Tehek Purasem, there you will be buried. There, here. If the mountain was over our head, and all of Klal Yisrael, Beneis, miraculously, was under the mountain, so what does the Gemara mean? Hashem said, there you'll be buried. Here. No, he said, Hashem wasn't threatening to drop the mountain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not bring a lightning bolt if somebody sins. Baruch Hashem. Hashem is Erech HaPayim. He gives time to do tshuva. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, are you scared of this mountain falling? Very scared. That's how frightened you should be of saying no to the Torah. Today is at Nasav and Nishma, you saw Asir Makha, you saw Kriyas Yamsuf. You saw what Kabbalah Torah was like. It doesn't say in the Sheh Zechirah, remember the Torah. Remember the day of Kabbalah Torah. That's what's important to remember. The majesty of that day. Remember how great Torah is. Look at the day. Remember your wedding day. Your whole life. Remember how exciting it was to get married. Remember that day. If you ever feel a little bit bored, like, you know, this is really tough, can I know how raising a family of kids? Remember that day, the excitement that this is the real service of Hashem. Remember the day of Kabbalah Satayra. I'm not going to kill you under here, but Shom, in that choice of saying no, Tehek Furaschem, you're burying your days, you're burying yourself, you're killing time. Life is only time. Rebecca Kamenetsky, I heard from him. He said that the dearest gift he received through his bar mitzvah was a watch, because it was the biggest Musar Sefer. It constantly reminded him time is moving, the minutes are going. By the Ummah Sa'ilam, they have an industry that they're proud of called killing time, a $1 billion movie industry and theater, billions, because they don't know what to do with these hours. So they could sit, I traveled twice to Australia and back, Baruch Hashem, for a simcha. One of my children is married to an Australian. So I went to the Eifel in Australia. I went twice. So it's 26 hours altogether, each way. And I was just looking around on the plane. And watching, they didn't know what to do with themselves. And then in the 14-hour flight, and then another flight. And so constantly, you know, what do they call that? Surfing. You know, all the different films. What can I watch now? What can I play now? What can I do now? There were some Yidden on the plane, besides myself. I walked through the business class, and I passed by a fellow who I didn't think was Jewish when I got on the plane, because he was dressed in such an interesting outfit. It was all maroon, like a baseball cap and a zip-up jacket and maroon pants. And he's sitting with a Daf Yomi Gemara. When I passed him by, I said, wow, Shalom Aleichem. I didn't realize that there was another Jew on the plane. You know, he says, sure, I have a business in China. We landed, the first stop was in China. Of course, today we wouldn't do that so easily. But that's the easiest way to get to Australia. It's an hour less than going through Los Angeles. 1 hour less traveling. But in any case, he says, I got to do this many times a year. He says, if I don't have my Gemara, I'm done. This is a very long flight. If you're in love, if you don't say yes to Torah Shom, in that choice, as scared as you are of this mountain, I'm not dropping it. Hashem doesn't do that to us. But that's how frightened you should be of saying no to a life of Torah, because then what's your time on this earth? You're burying the time, just burying it under what? All the different things that the world offers us to bury our time, and there's a lot of things today. We can do so many things with just one device that's in our pockets. We could do so many things if we didn't filter it right. So that's one pshat in Marvin B'Simcha, the Simcha of Torah. The Nisiv Shalom says, Pshat Marvin B'Simcha, Sameach B'Chelkoi. From the Nes of Purim, we learn how everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kehelas Yitzchak, and that's what I want to share with you as much as I can in the time we have, he speaks about the Nes of Purim, that Haman, it says in the Gemara, why did he choose Adar? Other monks came out first in his Goyrol, in his lot, but the Gemara describes to us, he knew the history of Klal Yisrael. He wasn't Stam, a foolish man. Everything he did was planned well. He was bright. He was intelligent. He really thought of a revenge against Mordecai and his people. And he said, oh, this month is good. It's ominously bad for the Jews. It's a good month for us. Because Moshe Rabbeinu died. Tomorrow night, Monday night, the Zayin Ador, right? And all of Tuesday. Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit. Says the Gemara, but Moshe Rabbeinu was also born on Zayin Adar. What a great thing for Klal Yisrael. The Redeemer of us from Egypt, from Mitzrayim. Says the Gemara, Hamanu Yoda Shebezayin Ba'Adar Meis Moshe, V'lo Yoda Shebezayin Ba'Adar Noilad Moshe. He didn't know that. So Hakeel just says, how could he not know that? He knew so many other things about our history that other months he wouldn't use. He didn't know this fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mashlem Shenoisev Shel Tzadik, that Hashem completes the years, mamish, the day they're born is the day they're niftar, a full 120 years. He didn't know that. He says, of course he knew it. But the word yoda doesn't stam mean to know. Yoda means to know intimately, to know well. That's the lush of yoda in the Torah. The first time we see it, v'hodam yoda eschavo ishtoi. To know someone very closely is yoda. Haman knew closely about Moshe Rabbeinu's patira, and he said, the Gemara says, the lashon he used was kevar hizkin. God is old. He can't do so many things anymore. Look, when Moshe Rabbeinu died, with him died the flow of miracles. Moshe Rabbeinu brought 10 makos, kriyas yamsuf, kabbalas ha-teira, the man, the anani ha-kavoit, and the water. Because when Miriam Manavia was nifteres, so he became the Tzelem Elokim for the water. He took over. Now he brought the man and the water. When Aaron HaKohen was Nifter, same parasha, Parshas Chukas, and the Anani HaKavod disappeared, the cloud that protected us disappeared, and Amalek came right away and took the opportunity to fight with us. They saw the Anani was gone, and we were Spalil, and we won. But who brought back that Anan? Moshe Rabbeinu. Now he was a Tzelem Elokim for all three because his brother and sister weren't there anymore. He took over their circuit breakers in the world and turned on the light that they had on always. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Boire. HaMechanish B'tuva B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'asev Reishis HaKadosh Baruch Hu continuously with like a masmid. A masmid is not the fellow who stays until 1 or 2 a.m. He might miss Shachris. Only if he keeps if he can keep all this Dorim, is it worth staying up late. The masmid means that he's consistent. He learns 60 minutes in the hour. He's consistent. HaMechadesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tomit. Consistently, all day HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying the Asorah Ma'amores. So the main switch in the basement is turned on all day by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that just gives a surge of electricity into the world. But we, people who know Torah, we're Tzelem Elokim. Each one of us turns on circuit breakers and switches that only we can turn on as long as we're alive. When Miriam and Aviyah was Nifteres, it became Moshe Rabbeinu's switch. When Aaron was Niftar, Moshe Rabbeinu's switch. When Moshe Rabbeinu was Niftar, all three disappeared. All three disappeared. And did not return yet when he was Niftar. Tzelem Elokim was gone for those three things. It disappeared. So he said, Kvar Hiskin, and then he says, and Moshe Rabbeinu's Patira was full of miracles. Loi chasa enoi, loi naslechoi, loi ode ishes kvurasoi. He didn't age. He didn't get wrinkled at all. He looked like a young person. And nobody could find his a cave where he was buried. He says, after that, there were singular miracles here and there. The wall of Yericho went down. The Yarden split, but nothing like Moshe Rabbeinu. The Loyoda, he didn't know intimately and cleverly. Moshe. He looked at Moshe's later, he said, who cares? It's normal. The Gemara tells us a seventh-month baby and a ninth-month baby have a good chance of living. Eighth month is more dangerous, says the Gemara. Moshe Rabbeinu was a seventh-month baby. Big deal. Had a miracle. His mother took a basket, smeared it with tar after 2 months because she knew that she was not going to find him because they counted the 9 months. She was afraid they were going to find him. She put him, basuf, she put him by the reeds. Big deal. Tar keeps out water. Not a miracle. He didn't care about his birth. Bastia comes down and she finds him. That's normal. What would you do if it came down to the water and there was a baby in a basket? You wouldn't pull him in. So Lo Yoda, he didn't know intimately the Ramban. He didn't know the Ramban and the Parsha's boy. Where the Ramban writes that from all the major miracles, we Jews who look at the world say, wait a second. My life is as big a miracle as Kriyas Yamsuf, at least. The fact that this one finger can move, if you study science. Well, Baruch Hashem, that my eyes can see. For an eye to see, there's so much that has to go on. You know, if my age appreciated more, I already had 2 cataract surgeries. Let me tell you, you lay there awake, and they're playing around with your eye, and you say to yourself, like, well, he shouldn't make a wrong move. You know, it's a precious thing, the eye. A bakeh is a big bracha, even bigger after a surgery like that. But Lo Yoda, he didn't understand that the fact that a baby that's born is a major miracle. He didn't know that. He didn't. He thought it's natural, nature, everyone, babies, they live. The Gemara says 7th month is okay. Tar keeps out water. Yeah? It's a major miracle. How do we know? Anybody learn Gemara Tainus? Remember the story? Avinah ben Yosef's daughter, Ben Shlecht, one Friday night. When a woman makes the bracha on Neiros, she's Makabel Shabbos. She can't do any melacha anymore. Right? This past Shabbos, I bench left. I was in the nurse to show myself. I bench left. I had to walk to my in-laws because I couldn't get into a taxi. All around me, men are driving. I have to left my because it wasn't Shkia. They're still running home. And I saw in a lot of the cars, I saw yarmulkes. People, you know, the Shabbos have a mitzvah driving. I couldn't drive. I was Makabel Shabbos. I made a bracha on left. She runs into her father. Abba, I made a bracha on left. And I see I put vinegar in. I didn't put in oil. I put the wrong thing in. It's going to go out in a moment. And it's come out of Rachel of Atala, and I can't do anything about it. So instead of saying, sorry, I'll do it, like some good husband would say and a good father would say, she went to her father. He didn't say, he says, what's the problem? Why does olive oil light anyhow? It's a miracle. He said, Misha Omar L'Shemen V'Yadlik, Yoyim L'Shemen V'Yadlik. The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu who tells oil to light, for you, the Eibishter will tell vinegar to light, says the Gemara. Her left lit until Havdalah, longer than a regular Shabbos. The amount of vinegar she put in was the regular amount of oil that she normally put in. It lit all the way till Havdalah. Because he believed so much that everything's an Eitz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Haman, says the Kehelet Yitzchak, oh, you don't know that Moshe Rabbeinu's birth was a miracle? You think I'm old because there aren't major miracles happening? You will fall into the hands of natural events. Your downfall will not be one major miracle. One thing after another, a drunken king kills his wife. He has to have another wife. He wants the most charming woman in the world. So everyone felt that Esther Malka was very charming. Even Mandamu says that her skin was green. And that she was 70 years old. But the Gemara says, Chut shel chesed moshu chalponeho. She was, everyone thought she was so charming. So he married her. One event after another, which seems to be natural, and it turns into, when we read it in 40 minutes in Beis Medrash, it's like, wow, an apachu. But it was a 9-year story. While it was happening, he said, Haman, you're going to fall into the hands of Teva. Because Teva is a major name. And that's one of the important lessons of Purim. That the Sameach Bechelkoi, the Sefer Shalom explains, he says it's such a gift. Marvin Besimcha, we should always be Sameach Bechelkoi, and I want to add to it in Ruchnias and Gashmias. Not only if another Bachur has more than I do in Gashmias, I should understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what I need. In life we have to make a shtadlus until Mashiach comes. We have to make a shtadlus. We have to put in an effort to make a living. But there are people who make the same ishtadlus, and one is successful and one is not. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a master plan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put different people into different families for reasons. He knows why. I had a bacher by me who came in once, his father, wonderful person. He's a wonderful person's father, but his father comes from a different world, not from the world of Torah. And he was very resentful of his son learning after the age of 19. And he told him, if you insist on staying in yeshiva, you will support yourself. It's just not fair that I should continue to support you. You know, you're a man already. It's time to take care of yourself. Like I did by my father, which I understand. I once talked to a father who came down and thought he was insulting me. I wasn't insulting. I told him, I respect you. He sat across the table from me in my office one Sunday when he had off from work, a hard-working man. And he said to me, Rabbi Finkelman, I want to just tell you, I really feel you don't care about my son. You care about your parnosa. You need to make a living. And if you didn't have students, you wouldn't make a living. So you keep my son here and don't send him for a master's so that you have students who are paying tuition so you can make a living. I think it's not fair. If you care about my son, you'd send him off. You'd tell him at your age you should be getting a master's degree. You wouldn't keep boys in the yeshiva so that you have students. So I said to him, I respect you very much because I really believe that you believe what you're saying. I really believe that. That you really think that I am selfish and that I only tell students to study Torah because I need them in the Beis Medrash so that I should have a check. You know, I really believe that you believe that. And I respect you for coming down to protect your child. But I want to tell you, if you think back to, let's say, 25 years ago, when you were your son's age, you made certain decisions about life. What you want to do for a living, what kind of a person you want to marry and spend the rest of your life with, what kind of a person. Now it's your son's turn. And I really don't tell him what to do. But I'm telling you that he's preparing himself for the young woman that he wants to marry one day. He wants to marry somebody who wants a fellow like him that's going to end up in BMG. That was his dream, in this Menage Gavoa and Lakewood. I knew the boy, and that's what he wanted to do. And I said that it's his turn to make choices. And he didn't argue with me. He thought about it. He left the office, you know, in thought. But the postscript was his son ended up in BMG, and when he did get married, his father would drive down every Sunday to learn with him in Beis Medrash. Because really, he was proud in the end. But he meant it. When he came down to me, he meant it. Ishtadlus we have to make of some sort until Mashiach comes. The Mashulachim will come to my door. One of them really gave me a laugh. I gave him extra for it. I gave him some of the money. He said, please give me more. I said, there are so many people who come. I have to give other people also. He said, do you believe Mashiach is coming any moment? I said, yes. As soon as Mashiach comes, your money is worthless. Use it now. Give me more while it's worth something. You get a mitzvah. I said, I like that. Here you have it. Again, good. He said, well, it's true. Mashiach will come. That's it. You have Shekula, Shabbos, and the Shabbos. You don't deal with money. The Mesa'ilah, who are good, are going to exist. Pasuk in Yeshaya. V'hoi b'achas ha'yomim. V'hoi nachon yiyahar beis Hashem b'rei shehorim. V'naharu elov kol ha'goyim. Except Amalek. Acharisei adei oivit. Amalek will never see Mashiach. But the other goyim, if they're good, they'll take care of us, Beis Hashem. That's the truth. But meanwhile, so if a person makes a shtadlus and somebody else is masdeich and he's not, I told this bacha came in. He said to me once by lunch, I felt so bad for him. He said, you know, Rebbe, we have wonderful bachim in the yeshiva by us, but at lunchtime I hate some of them because kinah brings sinah. He said, I'm so jealous. They talk about this one, the father gets him a car, and this one something else. And he says, I have to pay my own tuition. I have to pay my own credits in college. And I'm so jealous, I mamash hate them. I said, you have to work on your bitachin. That's what Purim's about, that Hashem runs his world. Haman fell into that trap of not knowing that Hashem designs everything and Teva is also a nes. This is you in the science, you in the Shema, that Hashem put you in this mishpacha where your father doesn't, he doesn't believe in what you're doing. He's a good person. He cares about you. This whole pressure of making you support yourself is because he loves you. And this is how he loves you. You know, that's the truth. And this is your nisayon. So try not to hate. Try to work on that not being mekane. Rek about somebody's kino, and in ruchnius too. Sometimes you work so hard, and I'll end with just a story on a bracha. There's so much more, but I have to come back. So, but just, you'll appreciate the story. But in ruchnius, I was that kind of kid. I would sit in class and struggle when the Rebbe sang a teisvis, and on my left side, a bracha asked a Pnei Yeshua's kasha, Rajma's question. I think to myself, I don't even get teisvis, and that kid is asking a Rishon's question. Like, the kino is tremendous. Kinas Sof from Tabe Chochma is on Hasmoda, on davening with Kavona, but not an accomplishment, because we don't have that saying by Yidden, where there's a will, there's a way. Usually it is true, but it's not always true, because Rosh doesn't always give a person a way when he has a will. Our saying is, Ein Dover Ha'oimid B'Snei Ha'Rotzoin. Nothing stands in the way of wanting the right thing, because Anu Ameilim U'Mekavim Schar. Our Schar comes just for effort, not for accomplishment. Accomplishment, that's Hashem's business. Not everybody accomplishes. So nothing stands in the way of Rosh saying, Hashem, I want to show you what I want. I'm going to put forth that effort. And if you give it to me like Chana, when she went to the Beis HaMikdash, and Eli thought she was a Shikaira, and it says she went out of the Mikdash, and for Panel, she wasn't upset anymore. Said to Chassam Sofer, why not? She didn't have a baby yet. She wasn't even expecting yet. How could she not be in a bad mood? How did she know for sure she'd have a baby? She didn't know for sure. But she knew for sure she put forth as much effort as she could to have a baby. Because if Eli thought she was a drunk, that's pretty insulting. That's pretty much Mesiras Nefesh in davening. To be thought of as a shikra. We don't know all the halachas of Shemana Esrei from that story. All the halachas of davening quietly, nobody could hear you, because that's why he thought she was drunk. He never saw such a thing before. But in any case, that's because she did all her effort. Nothing stands in the way of Ratzon. How do we show Hashem our Ratzon? By our effort. And in Ruchnius also. So there's no, we're not Mekane. We know that this is my lot. I'd work on it. I'll try to improve. I'll get some, you know, to someone to learn with me. So I'll just end with a Meredith story about Amelus and a Pirish on the story. I heard it from an eyewitness. There was a Talmud of mine whose father was a fundraiser for Lakewood, a Rabbi Weisberger. And he told me he was a Talmud in Beis Medrash in the Lakewood when Rav Aaron was the Rosh Yeshiva. The founder of the Yeshiva was the Rosh Yeshiva of Aaron Kotler Zuchman Bracha. He was Nifter in 1963, so the story happened prior to 1963. It was a summer day, blazingly hot, no air conditioning anywhere in those days. I remember, you know, who had air conditioning, period, no such thing. We went to Yeshiva and sweated and that's it. We had some fans in some of the rooms that nobody had, didn't exist. So Lakewood didn't have air conditioning. And Rav Eli Lapian was the guest speaker. Mashgiach from Eretz Yisrael, from Kfar Hasidim. He came into America speaking in Lakewood. And Rav Aaron is watching from his seat in front of the Arkadosh. He's watching the Rav Eli, and Rav Eli is dripping. So finally Rav Aaron says, Efshe will the Mashgiach sich a bissel opruin. Maybe Rav Eli wants to take a rest. So he looks at Rav Aaron. He says, Odom lo omol yulo. I have a tape. I hear him how he speaks. I have a few cassettes of him. If you know what that is. It's the cavemen used to have such a thing. It's a, you know, with two wheels and things. Anyhow, so Odom lo omol yulo. Man was born to sweat. This is good. And he continued his shmooze. Says Rav Weisberger, I sat right opposite of Aaron. He put his arm down on the shtender, put his forehead down, and I saw the tears running. And they went on the floor. And eventually, there were a lot of tears. He was crying hard. So Rav Eliezer noticed it all of a sudden. So Rav Eliezer said to him, what did I say? He said he heard of Aaron somehow in his shmooze. So Aaron picked up his head. And all the Talmidim saw this. And he said, Hoskizokt Odom lo omol yulot, ich weiß nicht was das ist. You said, man was born to toil. I don't know what toiling is. I'm gifted. I have a brilliant mind. I never have to work hard. I wish I could work hard. Could you imagine? Now, of course, Rav Aaron was an onav. He was the humblest person. Of course he worked hard, because he created Kedushin. With his power, he worked hard and toiled and left us svarin on Chumash, on Gemara, on Halacha. Of course he toiled, but he still felt cheated, because he was brilliant. He felt he couldn't be onav. He cried. So, that's the big chiluk of our Marvin B'Simcha. I am Marvin B'Simcha to be here. I'm telling you. You're thanking me for coming. I'm selfish that I come. I really enjoy it. I go back on the plane feeling simcha. I don't jump up and down on the seat there with the rest of me or lock me up. But I sit in my seat on the plane and I feel, it was so geschmack. What a nice parting. I still hope to hear the shofar before the plane takes off. And my family should come here and I shouldn't have to go. I still wait till the last second. Now, you have nothing how chosh it is to be in Eretz Yisrael. I was with my Rebbe, Moshe Wolfson Shlita, for like Boimer a few times. One time my Boimer was Mitzoy Shabbos. So we had a Shabbos together in the Old City. So when we're leaving the Old City to go to Meron, Mitzoy Shabbos, it was a Sunday like Boimer. Mitzoy Shabbos like Boimer, we start at night. Here, if your night is good, your day is good. So anyhow, I said to my Rebbe, you know, I could go home now. It was worth the whole ticket, just this great Shabbos. I don't think I have to go to Meron. So Rebbe looks at me and come out in horror. What? You needed a whole Shabbos for your ticket to be worth it? When I get off the plane in Lod, and now in those days, you had to go down a steps onto the tarmac, and a bus came and took you to the building. Until about 5 years ago. Well, not that many years ago. How many years ago? You came out on the tarmac. So my Rebbe said, when my feet touched the tarmac, I could turn around and go home. My feet touched Eretz Yisrael. It's enough really the whole ticket. Just my feet to touch Eretz Yisrael. You had to have a whole Shabbos? He was so disappointed in me that I didn't have the cheshivas for Eretz Yisrael, that I had to have a whole Shabbos to feel it was worth the ticket. So Baruch Hashem Yezoicha, you're marvin b'simcha every day by kimu v'kibulu ha-yehudim, because we saw how much the Eibishter loves us and taught us how Teva is a nes and how the Eibishter takes care of us every second. So it's a very special day of Limud HaTorah and of Tefillah, a very special day. Even if you drink, don't drink enough to lose your Tefillah. It's not so hard not to be able to disturb between Or Haman and Baruch Mordechai. What that means, I think one of the Poshut of Pshatim, is that I know that Hashem loves us as much when there's an Or Haman as when there's a Baruch Mordechai. That even when he hurts us, it's only love. It's because he wants to bring us back. He wants to make sure we don't assimilate too much. We don't get lost. So you drink enough to know, oh, the Eibishter loves me all the time. Arhaman, Baruch Marachai, it's all the same in Bani Shalaylam. It's all the same Ahavor. Just it tastes better. So Mir Hashem, Shabbat to continue being Marvin B'Simcha. And hopefully through you, the Eibishter be Mekayim, our Bakosha every Friday night and call Mekadesh, Samchem Bevinyan, Sholem, Bekorah, Be'Yameinu, Yeshakayah.